This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about skincare. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Botox is a huge part of modern skincare. Getting Botox is about as casual as getting your teeth cleaned or getting a facial. And that is somewhat surprising if you think about the fact that it's made from one of the most powerful poisons on Earth, botulinum toxin. It can develop in poorly canned food, and even a tiny amount can kill you because it paralyzes the muscles used for breathing. But when injected, just the right amount, in just the right place, it turns out to smooth frown lines and crow's feet like a dream. Despite the terrifying potential of the active ingredient, Botox is available and popping up in all kinds of settings, injected freely, anywhere from doctor's offices to house parties. And that has created some problems. Grant Hill has more.
A few months ago, I talked to a plastic surgeon for another story I was working on. When he leaned in, lowered his voice a bit, and asked, "You want a real story?" Yeah, I responded. He proceeded to tell me about what he called an open secret in his industry, a real moneymaker that no one wanted to talk about, diluted Botox. It was the perfect scheme, he said, a way for providers to save money and, because it was less potent, keep patients coming back for more often. But when I tried to follow up on this, the doctor seemed to get cold feet. He stopped returning my calls. So I started asking around, wanting to know if this was indeed a thing, and if so, how it came to this.
I'm not suggesting that anyone does this, but this is how it could happen, right?
Kevin Duplishan is the president of the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery. He had not heard about physicians diluting injections, but he did say it was definitely possible to do.
You know, you get a vial of Botox and you're supposed to put in 2 cc's of bacteriostatic water, which is kind of what's recommended to dilute the product and create a certain concentration. Well, somebody decides that they want to put in double the amount of water in the product and inject that. I mean, who's going to know differently, right? And so certainly that's a way to increase your profit. And, you know, I mean, who can tell that? I mean, that's, you're very vulnerable.
This sense of consumer vulnerability kept coming up in the conversations I had about Botox, from the tip about the diluted injections to all kinds of other issues. And in part, this is due to the incredible popularity of Botox. From the moment it was approved as a skincare treatment by the FDA, the market for it has grown and grown and grown. Celebrities couldn't stop talking about it. TV shows featured it. Middle-aged moms craved it. And Botox almost immediately slipped out of the confines of the doctor's office into all kinds of settings. Kevin Duplishan says it's absolutely central in his own practice, integral for growth.
You know, frankly, I think it's everything. I really do.
Botox set the tone for the many injectables that would follow. When Kevin started administering Botox to his patients in the mid-90s, he encouraged first-timers to bring a friend and both get injected. Kevin bought Botox in big 100-unit vials that only had a 4-hour shelf life once opened. So this reduced waste, but it also helped spread the word about what Botox could do. And this kind of thing was encouraged by the company that was producing Botox.
The company Allergan that introduced this, frankly, did an incredible job of teaching us how to grow these practices and making it available to people.
Making it available to people by making Botox itself available in more places. And that included new business models.
Allergan has this program and they call it the Naive Botox Program for people who have never had it.
Allergan provided training and educational resources, not just to dermatologists, but to other providers like Francis and Colleen Acunzo. In the 1990s, this husband and wife team revolutionized the beauty industry.
We believe that spas could change lives.
They owned 2 beauty spas in Boston, think facials and massages, when they read about a laser that could remove age spots from the skin.
And we're like, oh, this doesn't belong in a dermatology office, it belongs in a spa.
a kind of turbocharged beauty spa with high-tech options for its clients. They took the idea to the company that made the laser, pitched it.
They got excited and we came together and we put a laser in a spa.
It was a smashing success. They eventually merged their company with the company that made the lasers, and a new concept was born, the medical spa. So, naturally, when Botox hit the market, the Akunzos were all over it. Francis says injectables like Botox are the bread and butter of med spas these days.
At this point, I actually have to work hard to find locations that have less than 60% of their business being done with injectables.
The medical spa industry is now a $15 billion industry, with an estimated 9,000 in operation in the U.S. today.
These medical spas have positioned themselves much more like a very cool either spa or salon.
That's Alex Tiersch. He's a lawyer and CEO of the American Med Spa Association, which provides legal resources and training for med spas all over the country.
So it doesn't feel like a doctor's office. There's a much more kind of fashionable and flashy and sexy appeal to going in to these places and getting work done as opposed to going to a very sterile and clinical doctor's office. But what's happened with that is that it does give the impression to a lot of people that it's kind of an easy pseudo medical procedure that you're going in to get.
He says the beginning of the Botox boom in med spas had a bit of a Wild West vibe.
Tons of people out there making millions of dollars running these very, very cool, innovative practices, but they were all non-compliant.
Non-compliance for issues like how the Botox was being stored, or who was doing the injections, what kind of training they had. He says the rules and regulations can be confusing, and nobody seemed to be very concerned or watching too closely.
The enforcement mechanism for this industry is controlled by each individual state, by the medical board or the nursing board in that particular state. Enforcement is pretty lackadaisical in this industry because there just isn't enough resources on the state level to really police what's going on.
He says things are starting to change. More and more investigations are happening every year, and many customers want to be certain that the people who are injecting them are well-trained and know what they're doing. I talked to a woman who was unhappy with a recent experience. We'll call her Riley. She had found a discount for Botox online. She thought she was going to a dermatologist office, but found herself at a random office building in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
There was nothing medical in there.
When she arrived, others were sitting around in a conference room waiting to see this doctor who was treating patients behind a curtain.
I heard people in the conference room saying, oh, this is the cheapest you'll ever find.
Eventually, it was Riley's turn. The doctor pulled something out of a duffel bag.
I'm like, how are you able to do this so inexpensively? He said, oh, I buy in bulk, a lot of bulk. But he doesn't tell you what he's buying or what he's giving you. And he would never actually say what the price is or how many units you're getting. And there was no receipt.
Riley thought about reporting this doctor. Eventually, others did. But not before one of his patients was hospitalized after being injected with unknown fillers. The doctor's license was suspended. So, if you were to get Botox, would you rather be injected in a conference room by a doctor with a duffel bag full of vials or somebody's house, somebody you know and trust? That is another way people are getting their wrinkles erased.
Okay, so guess what I am on my way to go do? Get Botox, baby. Bye.
Summer Rae Leach first heard about Botox when she was working on a photo shoot in Florida.
One of the models who was a little bit older than me, she said that she was having a Botox party at her house.
A Botox party. There would be wine, little meatballs, snacks, even a dog. And, of course, discounted Botox. She decided to go.
The person that was giving the Botox there was super nice, super professional. We all filled out a waiver, you know, before we started just to make sure that, you know, if anything happens, things like that. So all of the safety precautions were there. And she was, of course, a professional. And so it was such a good experience.
The casual vibe of it all, but with a professional injecting the Botox, it's what convinced Summer to get Botox in the first place. Though she has since come to suspect that the Botox she got at that party was diluted. The results didn't last nearly as long as injections she later got in other places. So why run the risk of getting diluted Botox or being in a space that makes you feel uncomfortable when you can take matters into your own hands? Do-it-yourself Botox is, as I learned, apparently a very popular pastime.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to DIY Beauty Lab. Today, I'm going to be doing a full face of Botox with Botulax. If you're interested in knowing how to do DIY Botox at home, then stick around.
This DIY Botox tutorial has almost 80,000 views on YouTube, and it's not nearly the only one.
Another quick disclaimer, I am not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a license or certificate in anything. This is my DIY journey. I'm sharing with you.
A quick search reveals a thriving online market for illegal foreign injectables in the U.S. They're remarkably easy to buy. No healthcare license, no business license, or prescription needed.
Yay, got some goodies from acecosm.com. So, we're going
to open... Social media influencers guide viewers to websites with global shipping, where you can buy syringes, dermal fillers, Korean Botox, even lidocaine, a powerful anesthetic. Some of these products are available for purchase on Amazon. Most are non-FDA-approved products coming from outside the states. I asked the FDA about all this, but they did not share any data or specific information about these products with me. So I tried to talk to influencers behind this and the people who are injecting themselves with foreign Botox-like products. They did not want to talk. One of these influencers said they were afraid of being deplatformed. Others told me the attention might make it harder for them to get their hands on these products in the future. Why pay $500 for a treatment that may be diluted when you could do it at home for $50 yourself, one wrote to me. It's not without risks, and the internet is full of Botox gone wrong type stories. But as our beauty standards continue to expect wrinkle-free foreheads as the baseline, it seems like Botox and other injectables will only continue to grow.
That was Grant Hill reporting.